Right. Hello, everyone. The time now is 1:32 p.m. It's February 21st, 2023, and I'd like to call to order the Gatton Technical Subcommittee meeting. If we could start with the call to order roll call.
Yes, I'm Frank Ammons with Gatton. Jaime Guerra, UT.
Present.
Steve Pyle, DIR.
Present.
Dane Herbat, Travis County.
Present.
Gary Weisman, ACC.
Present.
Bo Kinsey, Travis County.
Present.
Harold Nall, UT.
Present.
Leslie Conley, City of Austin.
Present.
Chris Phillips, AISD.
Chris Phillips, LCRA.
That's what I thought. I'm so sorry, Chris. No, I apologize to you.
You're good.
We got some newer members. I was 50-50 on that. Justin Slocum, AISD.
Present.
Paul Hodge, City AISD.
Present.
Is there any members? Chris Gonzalez, Broadcom. Sorry, Chris.
No worries. Present.
Is there anyone I haven't called upon that's present?
Anthony Breckenridge is present.
Oh, Anthony, you're in there. Okay. I see you. Okay. Thank you, sir.
All right. Moving on. Agenda item number two is citizens communication. Do we have anything today? All right. Then let's move on.
I've lost the sharing link. There it is. It's back. That's weird.
All right. We'll move on to agenda item number three, which is take some time to review and approve the minutes from the last technical subcommittee meeting that we had in January. Should be in your packet.
This is Dane. Motion to approve the minutes of January 24th, 2023 as presented.
This is Gary Weisman with ACC. Second.
All right. We have a motion by Dane and a second by Gary. Is there any further discussion? Right, hearing none. Frank, please lead us to the vote again.
I'm Gary, UT.
Aye.
Steve Pyle, DIR.
Aye.
Dane Herbat, Travis County.
Aye.
Gary Weisman, ACC.
Aye.
Leslie Connolly, City of Austin.
Aye.
Chris Phillips, LCRA.
Aye.
Okay. Minutes are approved. Moving on to agenda item number four is our maintenance contractors report.
Okay, this is Chris Gonzalez with Brightcom. Since our last meeting, we've completed the inspections of A1N and A2N with 15 corrected deficiencies between the two rings. There's nothing out of the ordinary to report on that inspection. Let me know if you have any questions regarding the inspection report, please.
So, Chris, since Brightcom's been doing inspections since the ice storm, which took down a lot of trees, was there any, I don't know, anything? Now, you said there was nothing different, but I'm asking again, is there anything different with the amount of downed trees that we had in Austin recently? Or tree trimming activities that you noticed?
Yeah, there was a bunch of tree cleanup on our, when we performed a emergency inspection after the storm, and we've got a bunch of field notes of locations of some light tree trimming on our end. The only main issue was the D1N cable that was found off airport, but has been remedied since then. Other than that, we really didn't have any major tree issues from the storm.
Okay.
All right, well, I'm going to move on to the inventory. And we had discussed last month, we had a repair on Super Ring North and D1N at Airport Manor Boulevard, which we performed the repair on January the 21st. We had used 1,390 feet off a rail number R647. This is something we had discussed during our last tech meeting. And we had also used 648 feet off the City of Austin rail for Morris Williams Golf tie repair at Airport and Manor Boulevard. Please let me know if you have any questions regarding the inventory.
Does Brightcom or network management have any updates on current lead times for our fiber?
I did reach out to distribution yesterday, request new quotes and new lead times. I had asked them to double check one of them. So I requested lead times and pricing for Prismium, General Essex, and Corning. Typically, we always buy Corning. General came back at 52 weeks, still waiting on Prismium. And Corning came back for 6 to 10 weeks. Which is very surprising.
For 192 count?
192 count, that's correct.
Very surprising.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so I asked them to double check. They're like, yep, 6 to 10 weeks. So it looks like things are starting to look forward for at least Corning. All the other manufacturers are still having longer lead times.
Interesting. Okay. Any additional questions for Chris regarding our either the maintenance report or the inventory report? All right, it's going to be a quick meeting, it feels like. Let's move on to agenda item number five, which is the network manager's report. We can start with the project status report.
Yeah, so this is Frank, and for this project status report, only thing I have to report for active projects is the B2 South placement with the 288 spur. That was the phase number two, and it is slated for splicing and to begin this week as far as splicing and testing. 23rd, showing both to be on the 23rd. So, Chris, is that correct, or is that a typo on network management's part?
No, so splicing is tomorrow, and then testing is the following day, sir.
Okay, so 222 for tomorrow and 223 for splicing. Sorry for the typo on that, everyone. I'll be more vigilant in my reviews. Also on getting complete projects, we have emergency repair at Airport and Manor, and we have a 288 spur replacement phase one that was completed, and those dates are accurate and listed as shown. And that's all I have. I don't have any specific projects or developer-driven projects to announce for now. I will tell you that on A1N Segment 7, as I notified the board, we should be starting that this week. Everything's gotten approved through the application process. And then also good news is for A1N Segment 8, which you are not aware of, we received application approval for Austin Energy for that as well, and everything's done with it. We're going after our TERP and City of Austin right-of-way permits. So I anticipate that one starting soon as well.
That is good news.
Yes, sir. Looks like we're finally getting some of these A1 segments completed with the assistance of Austin Energy. Any other questions? Or any questions?
All right. Hearing none, let's... Oh, wait, was that a question?
No, so I was going to move on. I'm sorry. Y'all have patience with me. I'm double dipping here with Sarah being absent today.
No worries. Thank
you. Yeah. Thank you so much. I'll move on, Jaime, if that's okay with everyone.
Yeah.
Next up, we have the... Okay, the network status report. So this is the one. Carlos, are you online right now with us?
Yes, sir. I'm online. Sorry.
Okay, so we had an emergency today for Super Ring North and A2N, which is affecting DIR currently. We're not aware of anybody else being affected at this time. Carlos, correct me if I'm wrong.
That's correct, sir, yes. Only DIR at this moment.
Yeah, it's kind of a unique situation. We're aware that we have activity in the area where people are doing underground work, especially the fact that we're aware that someone's boring. So when you bore underground, what happens? If you catch a fiber and you have a nearby riser pole, we've seen this before. Carlos, do you want to share the video?
Sure.
This is something that was captured. Thank you, Harold, for providing this for us. I think it's amazing that we were able to capture this. I wish we could have got more on it, like what actually caused it, but I think this is going to be very beneficial to Gatton.
And when you all see it, here we go. Pay attention to where the orange cones are right here. And the shadows here on the right-hand side. Actually, I need to take it back. If you see these shadows right here get yanked, and then the cables fall.
You want to play that section again?
Yeah, you might.
Yes, sir.
A couple of times. I didn't pick it up on it the first time I saw it.
You see right here, you'll see the movement. Oink.
Everybody see that?
I'm going to do it again.
Right by the white car and the cone to the right of the screen.
What was the cause? I apologize if you already mentioned it.
Yeah, no worries. So we've got underground work that's taking place nearby, and in particular, someone boring. So typically when you see this, and how violent that must have been to shake that pole and to make that cable fall. From my experience, that is somebody that's caught that fiber doing underground work and caused it to jerk loose. There's a splice case right there. Actually, I think there's two of them, if I'm not mistaken, Chris.
That's correct, yes.
Yeah.
There's one here and one right here.
Yeah.
Hey, Chris, did Juan get down there and look? From my recollection, the boring was underneath the Gatton fiber, the pole. They weren't boring underground where the fiber was through. Juan was going to go look at that. So there's a pole here that goes down to another pole and then connects. The boring was between the poles, but they weren't boring where it went underground. So that's what's kind of getting me concerned, that we really don't have a clue really what happened. If the boring was boring where the cable was underground, then by all means, that would be it.
We have underground going this way.
Not here. We don't. Ooh. This is all above ground over to the pole. And then it goes down the pole and goes over to a handhole. They were boring on this side of the pole. Adrian and Juan were supposed to go down there and look at that about 30 minutes ago, and I was hoping to hear back from them.
I'm bringing the prints up, but I don't believe that there is some on the ground there.
Prints might be up for executive session if we need to.
Oh no, I'm not gonna show. I'm just gonna.
You know, we're the only one affected. I don't want to pull everybody off the Gatton board meeting to look at this. So.
Yeah, well, and it could be, you know, also it's anything that could cause a hard jerk. I was informed that, you know, of the underground that's taking place there in that area, and that's the possibility of it. But it's anything that could cause a hard jerk like that. So, say there's an alley two spans away or a span away that we're not seeing on this video, and a dump truck or some or a trash truck lifted and clipped it. Yeah. And it's hard enough to jerk, you know, through lashing wire to cause something like this to happen. Definitely, in my opinion, it's something. Down the line that caused this to happen, a tug, a real hard tug.
Okay.
It's amazing that only DIR is being affected right now, considering there's two rings on that pole.
Yeah, this is Paul with Austin ISD. I'm just surprised that, you know, if it was an underground crew, they didn't have their locator nearby there, you know, guiding that drill rod. You know, so that goes to what you were saying, Frank, that it was probably down the line somewhere.
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking.
I'm sorry, sir. Yeah, the underground starts about one more pole down this right, this side here, towards MLK.
Okay.
Yeah, and then when Carlos, I'd ask, one of the first things I asked him if anybody was digging around there or born, and he said, yeah, one span away they are. Yeah. And it doesn't mean it caused it. I'm not implicating that, but
I wanted to be careful on that because those guys have been pretty honest about what they've been doing. So
yeah. Yeah, hopefully we can find, you know, what happened and who did it, you know. And I was asking Carlos and Chris earlier if this fiber actually hit the sidewalk, because it's hard to tell from this video, but it indeed did. And I'm just glad nobody was hurt or walking right there at that time. That person in that white shirt, I think, got extremely lucky.
Yeah. And our work went down a minute after this happened. We got our first alarm in.
And I'm sorry, which corner is this?
Carlos, could you move your mouse or you go ahead? You probably don't want to say the street address.
17. Yeah. The city has something there. Leslie, if that's what you're asking, we have an internet connection that goes to a UT site nearby,
mm-hmm.
but it's not affected at this time.
Okay. I just wanted to validate the address or this location. I didn't hear that.
We can. Yeah,
it's on the
executive session or something.
On the emergency notice. It's on the emergency notice.
Got it. Yeah. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, this is really fascinating video. I'm glad we captured it. We know exactly when the incident occurred. So keep us updated.
All right. Let me get out of that. Let's go back to.
Was that video from your GoPro, Carlos?
No, sir. Actually, it's UT provided it from the. I believe it's the hospital, isn't it?
That's cool. Yeah.
It was from his It was from his Halo monitoring the network 24/7.
I think it was from one of his drones.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Drone, Halo drone. Yeah. That's
right. You will be surprised. you know, I have my nephew works for Florida Power, and he's got a drone that flies from almost Amarillo all the way to Houston every day, twice a day, by itself, looking at an electrical line.
Yeah, that's impressive.
That's impressive. And he actually had to get an FAA ticket and everything because it does it all by itself.
All right. Anything else to discuss on the network status report, Frank?
No, I don't have anything for that. We can go on to 5C if you'd like to do so.
Let's do that.
So snippet I have for this one is that we're tracking 44 jobs totaling $3.4 million. And since the last meeting, the pole replacements for San Antonio Street that are being reviewed today were added in or highlighted in yellow on this budget report. So far for FY23, 7 jobs have been completed and $250K has been invoiced for MAC work, leaving $3.2 million encumbered. Yeah, there you go, Carlos. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
So just have a review of that and let me know if you have any questions. Okay, hearing none, Jaime, I think we can move on to six.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's move to agenda item six, committee chairperson's update. 6A is the Gatton UFAP policy pricing review.
Yeah, so for 6A, we had reviewed this previously, and it was asked at the last tech committee meeting that network management provide the tech members via email and a breakout of how the costs were calculated and formed. So for this meeting, that email did go out a couple weeks ago. And for this meeting, I thought it would be prudent for us to put in a handout which represents that email that went out, the attachment to that, as well as the previous document that was shown. So this is for UFAP prices, current prices versus what it's historically has been since 2016. So this is for everyone's purview and review. And, as a technical subcommittee, should the tech committee recommend that this change in any way, would go to the board to do so. And please keep in mind when you're reviewing this, and Carlos is going to speak to this, if there's any other information that you need or desire in regards to this, please don't hesitate to let us know. Please don't hesitate to ask. And with that being said, Carlos, I'll let you lead into that, please, sir.
Gentlemen, as you can see, what we did is we took a sample of some of the current jobs and jobs that have been completed, recent ones, as much recent ones as possible. Basically, all of these were 192 replacements. The total costs are on this line right here, the cost replacement with 192, and that's the total. The footage, if we add all the footage, is going to be 70,571 feet. So if you divide that by the 700,000, that's what you get, 993. The column here that expresses the cost of replacing one with 114, we took the same project and we adjusted it for the cost of cable, splicing, testing, and that's why it brings it down to this amount. So if we do the same thing with both of those, you get divided by the footage, you get 879 a foot if you were to replace with 114 rather than 993. And this is just for y'all to know how we came up with these numbers.
Is the decision to go to 192 delta in cost?
This is actually what it would cost to replace the fiber right now. I'm not, advocating. We're not advocating for a UFAP change of cost at this point. Most of the members have been paying at lower prices, so it still makes sense what we have on the books. However, if we were to entertain a new member entry, this would be part of that research that we would have to do, and to come up with a price for a new member, we would have to also, the one thing that is not added to any of these is pathway cost, and we would have to come up with some way of pricing that and adding it to the cost. So
in my opinion, the UFAP policy is a policy for Gatton members. Mm-hmm. There's nothing that's going to compel us to utilize this cost if we wanted to entertain a new member joining Gatton and acquiring some of the fiber. So I just wanted to put that out there. And as I mentioned at the last meeting, I think increasing the costs almost threefold would make it perhaps cost prohibitive for Gatton members to want to acquire additional fiber strands. And I think it's gotten as best served if we have, in some situations, less unallocated fiber and more members paying into the collective so that our cost in general should go down if other members' network rights go up. All right. Carlos, is there any other slides you wanted to show us on this topic?
No, sir. This is it. That was just for, well, this is something you already
seen. Before we move
on. Yes, sir.
It is in our best interest to have at least the formula that we agree upon for non-GATN members to become GATN members if we get a serious inquiry in the future. I don't know that we need to calculate the costs. But I think that we should have a good understanding of what that formula would be.
A lot of money. I'm just going to say something here. Excuse me for a second. You're absolutely right. There are a lot of things that should be considered when you when a new member enters, especially the amount of fibers they're going to get. And I'm just throwing this out: the amount of fibers they're going to get, the rings they're going to be at, because they're at the moment. Let's say that somebody were to trying to enter the GATN, and it's just one ring that they want to, and if they're allowed to become a member, now they have voting rights of all the rings. You see what I'm saying? So that's something that you all need to consider. Now the price, we have not gone after the price for a new member to enter because we have not been asked to. So just FYI then.
Right. I also think there's a potential, depending on who a new member is, they may have other things to offer the organization other than mm-hmm. just capital cost recovery fees. So it may be a bit premature to have a single formula that could apply to all, in my opinion.
So this is Frank, and I also think that I just want to add a little more to Dane's point. I think if the board decided to so move, so it would behoove getting at some point, maybe possibly not now because we don't know how serious the most recent inquiry is, but it, no matter what, we may want to have something on record for non-GATN members versus GATN members, and we could actually have two policies because you just have to keep in mind that GATN members have already paid for the original build as is, so when they do a UFAP between one or the other, between two GATN entities, there should be a discounted cost versus per foot cost versus what it would cost a new member to join GATN. So if a new member was to join GATN, to Carlos's point in this example shows, this would be a per foot cost for footage. If he said, you know, I want twelve strands on A2N, and how much would that cost me? And I want it from point A to point B. This is a per foot price we can give them. You know, and my recommendation would be something of this nature, along with a figured construction cost for how much it costs to build that fiber. Well, you know, when we build it, or what it would cost to build it today, and they share an eighth of that. But something for the tech committee to think about.
Right. Well, I mean, we certainly have this data that Carlos worked on. I mean, it's part of the tech handouts, which I believe network management keeps good records of. I don't know if there's necessarily anything we need to do in terms of development of a policy or having any board recommendation carry or any recommendations for the board at this time, unless the tech committee thinks otherwise.
Yeah, I think that we need to at least a calculation of that you mentioned, that there could be other considerations. You're probably talking about right of way and things like that.
Yeah.
But I don't know that we I'm concerned that if we had, let's say there's two members that are interested, or two entities that are interested in becoming future members, if we tell them, well, what can you offer us? I'm worried about in terms of equity. Mm-hmm. Certainly we could take considerations like, or some other infrastructure that they could share, and we could calculate their value, and you know, give credits maybe towards the acquisition of some gas. But I'm worried about the approach of, well, we'll just see when somebody joins what they can offer us. I'm equity in that situation. So I do agree that it's not imminent, and there's no urgency to having a policy in place right now. I do think that, and I know with Capital Metro, it's come up probably at least three times over the years, that we wished we had something to lean on rather than scramble to come up with a policy when the request comes in.
But do you think it's necessary to create a policy for something that's happened? I mean, I guess UT and, was it LCRA, were the last members to join Gatton like 2 years after it started in the 90s. Does it make sense to create a policy for an event that happens very rarely?
Well, we do it once and it's done. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Frank.
No, Dane, you're right. And on top of that, when people ask us, when an entity asks us, you know, when they ask us to entertain how much, you know, because they're basically, that's what Cap Metro's doing right now. I don't know how serious that inquiry is, but they're wanting to know how much would it cost to join Gatton as a Gatton member. And we should be able to find somebody with an answer to that. And to Dane's point, and I think in the last tech meeting, I don't remember if it was Carlos or Dane or somebody brought it up, or Jaime, maybe you, that they should be updated like every 2 years or every year, the pricing, to show current, you know, to go with current pricing for what we do. But yeah, right now I'm being tasked from Cap Metro to let them know, you know, how much it costs to join Gatton. And I think, you know, there should be a, because there's seven members, there should be a 1/8 cost associated to them up front. And I think it was $1.75 million from my original calculations of, you know, about a month and a half ago. And then plus, what fiber do you want it and where do you want it from? And this is your per foot cost. I don't know how else to do it. And I'm not asking the tech committee to tell me to, this is what you should do, but I would like to take something to the board to say, yeah, we're in agreement with that, Frank, if you want to give him these numbers. It doesn't have to be a stamped policy that Gatton rolls with, but it, to a little bit more to Dane's point, it would be nice to have something when they do ask, this is it. So we don't have to, you know, have meetings and agenda items for it. We already have it established.
Leslie, you had a comment or question?
But the question I have is it simply cost, or does there have to be a vote and approval?
There does have to be a vote and a unanimous vote and approval for somebody to join.
And an update of the ILA, which is going to these legal teams. So it's a big mm-hmm. deal to join.
Yeah, it's city council has to sign it again. It's a big deal. And to Carlos's point, I don't want to prolong this any longer than needed, but you know, as this Gatton is such a collaborative effort and these entities have worked together for so long, if a new member comes in, doesn't quite grasp Gatton or it's Gatton's purpose and who it serves and how it serves, and they're just concerned about, I'm just going to use Cap Metro as an example. Not them in particular, but just for Cap Metro, and they're just concerned about getting point A to point B for their, you know, rail service. And we have a unanimous requirement coming up for an expansion project, and they say no. That's, you know, that's something Gatton's got to consider, because then all of a sudden Gatton can't do what they intended to do as Gatton, because one member may come in that's new and say no, that doesn't benefit us.
Mm-hmm. Well, I agree with Dane that there should be something that is prepared, right, that outlines what the process is and potential cost for an entity. And some of the communication about, you know, what the what this entity or this Gatton consortium is all for, what is the benefit? And is that something that can be out on the Gatton site that anybody could read, you know, very open information about that? And I don't think the cost could be necessarily lined out there, but just indication that there would be considerable cost, you know, for an entity to join. And what's the minimum? You know, do you have to be a governmental entity? You know, do you have to be a public entity serving, you know, the something to the general public? What are those guidelines? And making that very clear.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd like to tell him, you know, I'd like to tell Cap Metro, as at a minimum, you know, no, not counting the cost it took Gatton as a whole to build that section of the network that you're interested in. But for example, if you're interested in one of our carrier rings, which is 114 count fiber, it's X amount per foot. If you're interested in one of our transport rings, which are the, you know, our four A1N, A2N, Super Ring North, Super Ring South, it's X amount per foot. And that's at a minimum. So you tell us how much footage you need from point where to point A to point B, and then I'll go back to Gatton and tell them, you know, they are interested, you know, get back with us, let us know if you're interested. And if they come back to me, say they are interested, and we go from there. I don't even think I need the board to tell me that. I think just if the tech committee says that'd be fine, that I can, you know, I can give them this price. And or if we want to, you know, if the tech committee thinks we should take it to the board, or it should be discussed longer in greater detail with more eyes on it, or options available, that's up to the tech committee.
Gary, you had your hand up.
Yeah, I was going to say that unless things have changed, haven't we allocated out all A1 North, A2 North, or super rings in both super rings?
It is. It's all the 182 is currently allocated. The carrier rings are not. The other seven rings are not.
Okay. So if they're going to want to actually move around Gatton's network, they're going to have to acquire fiber from an existing entity then.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So I would say that we should concentrate on what fee we want to charge for somebody to become a member of Gatton, because I think things like the infrastructure, the manholes, the underground, and everything else isn't going to be included in these numbers. So coming up with an amount that Gatton would require somebody to, I mean, partially make Gatton whole for what they're going to be using and, you know, associated with that. So some sort of membership entry fee, and then they have to understand that they'll either have to purchase available strands from Gatton itself on the subrings or from another entity on the transport, or, you know, on the large rings.
Yep.
The down rings, the downtown rings, and then the super rings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's interesting. And that would be, I guess that would apply to any entity that requests to join Gatton. That's an interesting concept.
It really is.
There's just so many options, right? Someone could
be a
full-fledged Gatton member, or somebody could just partner with one of the agencies and say, hey, we'll get you a pair of dark fiber from A to B and B to C, because that's all you really need.
Yeah, if that's all they need, then, you know, here you go. Go talk to UT. Go talk to AISD if you want to just get from here to there.
Right. I guess to Dane's earlier point of about having costs, I mean, it doesn't hurt to have updated on a regular basis what replacement costs are for the various rings, right? Because this could be, I mean, network management could use it as a, well, our replacement cost for the network is this. So a potential cost to you, pending board approval and other considerations, could be this.
Yeah.
Because don't you kind of want to know replacement costs for, you know, making sure we're keeping enough in our emergency fund balance or insurance purposes?
Yeah, so that's a good point, Jaime. So what I did previously was the last entity that requested this amount, I mean, had such a request, we took what the network is insured for and cut it by and then used that 1/8 theory.
And I informed them that would be at a minimum. And then Gatton still needs to discuss, you know, a per foot cost or construction cost or, you know, just from an insurance purpose, you're looking at X amount. And then their query ended right there.
Well, does the tech committee feel that we have any recommendations for the board at this time or anything else we'd like network management to investigate on this topic?
Can I just make one thing? One thing, Jaime. I think it wouldn't hurt Gatton to at least take this back to a board meeting and have Sid speak on it just to get his thoughts on it one more time. And if that's okay with the board members or Dane and the board chairs, we can take this to.
Yeah. Let's agenda session. Item on there. And we'll talk about Supering North, Supering South, and A1N, A2N. And we'll talk about the cost for entities interested in becoming new members. I think that you point, Frank, that let's say we need a member that comes in or have a member that, I'm sorry, a potential member that wants only six strands, D1N, and they have a very, very minimal use for Gatton, but now they are all of a sudden a member and any kind of an expansion project will require their approval, and all of a sudden they have the keys to shut the entire effort. That's a bad deal. We need to consider making future members purchase at least presence on Super Ring North and Super Ring South. Maybe they have to be full. Maybe that's what it means to become a full member. Need a sub to talk about this kind of things and make a recommendation. So what I would say, Jaime, is an agenda item to discuss all of these items and have a recommendation to create a subcommittee by the board.
So have the tech committee make a motion to make a recommendation to the board to have a subcommittee for.
Right. Because I don't think the subcommittee can put together a subcommittee. Right.
Right. That's right. Yeah. Board. I wouldn't think so. Yeah. So, I mean, we can just put it, I don't think we have to make a motion or recommendation to the board, right? We can just, hey, let's add to the board agenda formation of a subcommittee to discuss member expansion or something. And to make sure we're not muddying the waters here, we probably do not need to mention UFAP unless the desire by the subcommittee, by this subcommittee or the board, is to make any sort of modifications to UFAP at this time.
Recommendation is for two separate policies.
You broke up a little bit. What was that?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah. Is anyone else hearing Dane be choppy a bit?
He's a little bit choppy, but yeah, we hear you now, Dane. I hear you now.
Okay. Yeah. I'll reboot my headset. I heard there is a request for two separate policies.
Okay. What are those policies?
One is keep the UFAP as is, and then there's a separate policy for additional members.
Right. But if to keep the UFAP as is, then we just make no recommendation on it, right?
Correct. I think we're both on the same page.
Okay.
Yes, I agree. I've got it noted. I've got the action item written down for that agenda item. And if I have any questions, I'll reach out to both of you.
All right. But do we need to take, in your mind, Dane, do we need to take any action in this meeting to carry forward to the next meeting or to the board meeting?
No, we're just going to make sure that agenda item.
Okay, very good. All right. Unless anyone has anything else, I think we've covered 6A, the UFAP pricing review. All right, then let's move on to 6B. We're seeking recommendation for the placement of 8 new Gatton poles on San Antonio Street. And Frank, do we need to go to executive session for this?
No, I don't believe so. Let me double check something here real quick.
I'm only going to show the this is Carlos. I'm only going to show the print the
proposal.
The proposal.
Oh, very good. Yes, yep, and so- just So the tech members are aware this is the poles that we've talked about several times before.
Yeah, so this is the poles along San Antonio. And just as a refresh, these are 8 poles that are contiguous along San Antonio, very crucial, important to our network, that were stubbed. We call them stub poles, which means they were topped by Austin Energy. So they have no electrical services overhead. All they contain right now is telecoms and Gatton. So what we're proposing to do is an effort to lower risk to our network. Should anything happen to those 8 poles, Gatton is proposing to place 8 poles in their place, because Austin Energy has notified us that those 8 poles are slated for removal. They don't know when they're going to remove them, but they are slated for removal. So we're trying to be, Johnny on the spot here and get these taken care of and get these replaced and reduce the risk to our network. And so what I did was Carlson and I talked to Broadcom about how to go about doing this. And what we've done is, and I also had talked to Austin Energy about it, the right-of-way department, urban and housing department, and urban planning and housing department. I've gotten their approval to proceed. And what we're going to do is place 8 poles in close vicinity. We imagine 3 to 4 feet apart of the existing Austin Energy poles. And then I'm going to request our maintenance contractor detach from the existing Austin Energy stub poles and reattach to our poles. And in talking with Austin Energy, when they notify, I imagine just so everyone knows, when they notify the CLEX, the telecom companies like Grande, AT&T, and a Spectrum that are on these poles, that they will notify them prior to removing per AE's pole attachment agreements with them, and then we can deal with them approaching us about attaching to our poles. But this is a lowering risk to our network, and to prevent a future problem that could pop up for us.
Frank, when we transition to these new poles, are we going to be able to place ourselves as the top attachment without much problems?
Yeah, we can. Last time I looked at that, I don't think we're crossed anywhere.
Okay, so it's not as critical.
We're not blocked in anywhere, so yeah, that shouldn't be a problem for us at all.
We would actually dictate the heights of everyone, because the poles are ours. So
yeah, we could get top position on these 8 poles.
Okay. Any questions on this project or the proposal?
I just want to say, because I know this is on the record, we could get top position. We can get top position of these 8 poles, being that those are stub poles we're working with. But if we get blocked in or boxed in, or we may have to be the lower attachment until other people detach from Austin Energy, and then we could possibly move up. We just got to learn that in the field as we place these poles and go.
Okay. All right. So if there's no other discussion, we're looking for a motion then. I'll go ahead and start it then. I'd like to motion that we recommend board approval to replace eight new Gatton poles on San Antonio Street.
This is Leslie. I'll second that.
All right. Got a motion by me, Jaime, and a second by Leslie. Any further discussion? All right. Frank, please lead us through the vote.
Yes. Jaime Guerra, UT.
Aye.
Steve Powell, DIR.
Aye.
Gary Weisman, ACC.
Aye.
Leslie Conley, City of Austin.
Aye.
Chris Phillips, LCRA.
Aye.
Paul Hodge, AISD.
Aye.
All right. The motion carries to the board. Thank you, everyone. We don't have any items for executive session today, so there's no need to update the roll call. So we'll go down to agenda item number 9, which is to confirm date and time location for the next technical subcommittee meeting as March 21st, 2023, 1:30 p.m. here at the City of Austin Permitting Development Center or via Microsoft Teams video conference. The time now is 2:22 p.m. and this meeting is now adjourned. Thank you all for your participation.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you all.
Bye.